Hey guys, thank you for tuning in to the episode, episode number seven?
Sure.
Of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk podcast. This is going to be an interesting one. We're going to talk about fantasy football. We're going to ad-lib on a lot of different categories, a little bit on X Games in Minneapolis and how we wish we could be there. Why is the spelling bee ESPN of all things? We're going to be talking about Bags being on ESPN. Obviously, Paper Rock Scissors being on there. If you don't believe me, check it out. It's been on. But we're going to keep going on. Bigger part of the section, fantasy football. That means it's almost football time, guys. Let's get into it. What do you say? All right, guys, it is episode number seven of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk podcast. It is me, Bobby Perez, this is alongside my co-host, Andrew Debbie Merrick, and we're going to be talking about a bunch of different topics today, one being, for sure, obscure sports. What is ESPN doing with their lives, Drew?
ESPN's been fucking shit up for a long time now, Bob.
And it wasn't until today that I actually presented it to you that I showed you proof that Paper Rock Scissors was broadcast on ESPN. Now,
I didn't believe them. I really didn't. I didn't think that they actually. I thought it was just Bobby telling me a lie like he does on a typical day.
But it is horrible. Okay, so like it is right up there with. I mean. ESPN covers a lot of great sports, but then they cover things I don't even consider sports, like World Series of Poker. Obviously, we talked about this today, spelling bee, but I think it's all intellect, I think, at that point. It's a different kind of...
That belongs more on, like, a game show network. GSN. Yeah,
I think Steve Harvey should be running that network.
And no, that's honestly, like, there's no business being on ESPN.
We talked about spelling bee. It's an intellect thing. It's brains. It's smarts. It's a completely different thing. You can't compare...
It's intelligence, which is... Yeah. There's some factors that come into... But how do you define a sport? That's another thing.
I guess you're right, I think, at that point.
How do you define a sport? Competitive.
To me, I think a sport is anything physical.
I do too. That's what they are, in my opinion.
In my eyes too, like I even give NASCAR the benefit of the doubt because it is something very physical.
Yes,
like
you drain. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
But you look like all these sports that ESPN has just randomly thrown on their channels these days.
But do you consider like polo a sport? Like where you're riding around a horse and you're cracking balls?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
That's a sport. There's a lot of sports out there.
What about dog racing?
Sled racing or just
dog? Just like dog. Are you seeing them on a track? Track
racing. Well, dogs are athletes. Yeah. I guess technically, if you want to put it like that, dogs.
Santa's Little Helper, like from The Simpsons.
Sure. Yeah. Well, whatever. However you want to spin it, but I mean, dog racing is a sport, but it's not a sport for humans.
So what differs it from you then to see a very intellectual 12-year-old spell a 15-word letter, word.
What does it mean to me?
Yeah, what does it mean to you? Like, why is that not...
Those kids have an absolutely fantastic gift and skill that they're intelligent, and then they can do these things, but they're talking.
I agree.
Okay, so you know what? Does this make me an athlete? What we're doing right now, does this make me an athlete?
100%. I think we're doing a very physical thing over here right now.
I know you're lying.
Drinking copious amounts of alcohol and actually maintaining a...
See, but at least when you're drinking alcohol, you can pick up something. It's like weightlifting.
It's a very good point, too, as well.
But yeah, no,
it's solid.
Yeah, the ESPN and their whole obscure sports thing.
Okay, like, when you're thinking obscure sports, like, what is, like, another thing that just jumps off to you as, like, an obscure sport that you can't believe they had on there?
Arm wrestling?
Arm wrestling is another one. But is that a strength sport, though?
Absolutely. It's obscure, though.
It's an obscure sport.
If we're going by definition, okay. It's an obscure sport. Arm wrestling. Yes. Is it a sport? Sure.
Yeah.
Because it's strength.
Mm-hmm.
It's endurance.
Would you call the World's Strongest Man competition an obscure sport?
Not so much. Because I think that's like one of the... Actually, not at all. Because I think that's kind of like all the things that...
Overall physical. Like overall they're actually maintaining, not just focusing on one body part.
Yeah, and it's that, not so much like running and jumping,
okay,
which are obviously the two of the bigger factors of being an mm-hmm. actual athlete. Running, jumping, coordination,
mm-hmm.
You know, all that stuff. It's it's different in that aspect, but like arm wrestling and World's Strongest Man are kind of the same thing.
In a sense, yeah.
Where they both, you know, they're both testing your physical capabilities.
Your strength.
Strength.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a huge factor in sports.
Yeah.
For me, it's what defines an athlete: running, jumping, coordination, strength.
Sure. Like, when you think an athlete, you think overall athlete. Overall, somebody that's going to be able to, like,
all the factors.
See, hear, do. Yeah.
Not hear, because being able to hear does not make you an athlete, Robert.
You don't think that anybody playing sound ball football is not an athlete?
So you're talking about the being deaf.
Yeah, so thanks for hating on them, asshole. Welcome to hell, Drew.
But not hearing does not
mean... hey, backpedal on that one there, Michael Jackson. Moonwalking across this.
That's great. Boy. No, boy. So they throw the spelling bee on ESPN.
Yeah.
They throw paper and scissors.
Let me just hold you real quick. I want to know what Mac Pesh... If Mac Pesh or Nate Vanosik are listening to this, I'm calling them out right now because I want to hear their take on this topic. And I want to bring them onto the podcast. If you guys don't know who Mac Pesh is... He looks like a poor man's David Duchovny, in a sense. Not very handsome, but still just like grain everywhere. Nate Vanosik, on the other hand, that's a handsome human being. Like a long lost brother of Ryan Gosling.
Gotta say, I can't agree with you more.
But I think that's what's gonna help us out though, is the opposing thoughts and concerns from them.
On our podcast. We do need people to come on here and argue with us. That's the one thing we're going to get at some point in time.
I think we debate every once in a while, but it's not a consistent debate.
No, we usually talk about things that we have
in common.
Similar opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
But we do want to have...
Like tight jeans. Do we wear them or do we not? We usually agree. We wear them.
Absolutely. You wear them anywhere. You wear them to...
Sleeveless shirts.
Yeah. Wear them we're in American. Swimming pool. You wear them in, you know, whatever, you know.
Speedos.
Yep.
Definitely. Mexico, for sure. U.S.? No.
Yeah. Teach their own.
Teach their own. All right, Drew, let's kick it off again. What do you got to say?
Well, with the whole ESPN and all these obscure sports that they throw on from time to time, it in a way, it kind of like it's a nice change up from the day. Because let's be honest, ESPN throws on a lot of the same topics all the time.
Oh, 100%.
LeBron
got traded to this.
It is, or? To be honest with you, I'm not going to lie. I do like watch. For some reason, I like watching the spelling bee, but it's not for the reason where most people watch it.
What do you watch it for then?
I watch for kids to pass out, get nervous, throw up on themselves. I watch kids that are socially.
Watch your 12 to 13-year-old kids fail.
No, to pass out and like because they can't handle the social.
Fail.
No, because they'll eventually get up and spell the word. I've seen it. I've seen them before. A kid pass out, blackout, get up, back on his feet. Sounds shitty to say, but it's actually really impressive for a kid to just regain his composure, go up there,
and
knowing
just,
he's fully...
And just rattle off 17 letters in a word.
It's like he blacked out because the letters came to him when he was passed out on the floor. I've seen that like 3 or 4 times. Yeah, and you have kids that go up
there. What if any of those kids were like a second coming to Jesus and they're just like... But it wasn't a pass out.
I don't think so.
Like stigmata just happened. No, I got it.
I don't think so. These kids though, they have a very impressive skill. Their intelligence is through the roof. It's fun to watch because like a lot of these words I can't spell. Fuck. I mean, you can't spell.
Yes, I ain't spell. Obviously, that showed me a lot. You were just about to say I ain't spell.
Yeah, when we come on. When we do this podcast. We will definitely torch the English language. We're gonna torch it, and there's nothing you guys can do to stop us.
The funny thing is too is we both went to college. Like
we're both
commenting on children who are 10 times more intellectual than we are,
10 times smarter than us now, and they're like 12.
Exactly.
And
they haven't had alcohol yet, so let's
that'll ruin
bear
their
with them.
I can promise you that.
Promise you that.
But no, like how many? Like I watched probably 3 or 4 of those spelling bees before in my life, and every time there's a kid on there that gets up there and doesn't know what to do in front of a crowd of people,
Here's one thing: is like, how do they know like? The intellect just blows my mind of like when they're sitting up there and they have to go and say other alternate pronunciations.
Yeah.
Or a country of origin.
Simply,
language of origin. Like the fact that they ask these questions and like and that gives them like a derivative like where to be at. Like,
that's how intelligent these kids are. It's really impressive.
Second century Greek? Like, is it spelt a different way? Like in second century? There's a E and a U in there. Yeah. It's like, oh my God.
And you can tell these kids are the kids that have grown up with their parents absolutely drilling them with You know,
oh my God, letters. Yeah, like, just, you're reading, like, you're reading notes, there's you're no, reading cards.
You can tell with a lot of these kids, there's no social life. None.
Oh, God.
It's just all school.
Okay, and so do you...
That's where I kind of feel bad at the same time. Like,
do
I'm
you remember watching
kids.
That movie with, I think it was, like, Paul Rudd?
Which one?
There was a Spelling Bee movie not too long ago, and I think it was Paul Rudd in it. I can't remember who it is. Answer me if I'm wrong. But there is a movie where, like, Paul Rudd makes friends with somebody who is in the Spelling Bee, and he ends up being in the Spelling Bee. The reason he came back to it was because he was, like, 12 years old, never finished it, and for some reason he got a pass to come back into it, and he's, like, 35. And he makes friends
That with... sounds hilarious, whatever it is. I've never heard that before.
I can't remember who was, like, the main actor, but I keep on thinking Paul Rudd, absolutely hilarious movie, because he teaches him how... Like, he teaches the little kid how to say, like, swear words,
oh,
and he
man.
Teaches the kid...
What movie is this?
He shows the kid, like, how to grab his first titty. Like, it's just...
Are
like,
you serious?
It's so stupid.
That sounds
it's
like...
It's a big black stripper, and it's... Oh, man.
That sounds like an incredible
Once I find it out...
A great premise for a movie, by the way. I think that's
solid.
Do you imagine, like, Will Ferrell was the guy that they threw in there?
It wasn't... God, it wasn't...
I know it wasn't, but...
It was like a random person. Like, it wasn't so random, I guess, but it was, like, literally the perfect... Jason Bateman, that's who it was. Jason Bateman was the guy.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just like one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life. And like, he was just spelling words off like left and right. And I think his dad left in the middle when he was like 12 years old.
You're like traumatized him?
Traumatized him. And he's like,
dude,
you get a pass for that.
I gotta see this
movie. You never competed.
I gotta see this movie. It's funny that they put Bateman in there. I think they put like an actual... like a big time comedy guy. He's funny.
And Bateman's a sarcastic kind of funny, like, which I love to watch. Like, I love seeing sarcastic funny, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But here's one thing is like, why isn't Will Ferrell made it? You know how Will Ferrell makes movies based on sports movies in general.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he do like a remake of Over the Top, but do it for himself, but make it a comedy? Or like Paper Rock Scissors. Like, he's done several different
figure skating. Those are pretty. Like, that'd be like a tough script to write. I feel like, because it's such like a small.
But same thing with figure skating though. That's a small crowd that follows that.
Not nearly as bad as if you were to throw on like, yeah, we're gonna make a movie about like a spelling bee or whatever. Like,
I know, but they already made Over the Top, so it's like.
I think you can do that. I think you could do it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, how would you write out that script? I think it might be a little harder than we think it would be.
I think it'd be really hard. But at the same time, just imagine the people that would go and watch that. Like, if you're seeing Will Ferrell going there and doing the first Paper, Rock, Scissors, like, championship on ESPN. Like, never lost a match somehow. But it's because of the way he threw, like, rock.
Right. It's one of those things where, like, the spelling bee... Like, if you were ever going to make a movie about the spelling bee, it would have to be, like... They did it with Bateman, who was just kind of... But I've never heard of it. Like, you'd think that, like, they can make... If they were going to make that movie and they're going to make it really funny, they were going to throw on, like, a huge comedy star, you know? Because in order to make a movie like that be really, really good...
Bateman killed it in that movie. That was the thing, too. It was, like, almost like an indie film.
Well, yeah. Sense. I can tell it was, just by the people that were in it. But Paper, Rock, Scissors, I had no idea that they even put that on ESPN. But it was on there.
It was so brutal. Like, the only time I ever caught it was, like, late at night. 1 or 2 o'clock
in the
morning.
And this was, like, in 1999?
This was, like, 2001, 1999 area.
Who thinks to put on paper? Because that's not athletic.
No.
Not at all.
But it was, like, in Vegas. It was, like...
The World Paper Rock Scissors
Champion. It just goes to show me, like, in Vegas. It's like, Vegas will hold any event possible.
How would you become a great Paper Rock Scissors?
I don't know, like...
Here's how I think it would
go. Okay, so, like, I even saw, like, a stat one time. Like, I was watching, because, like, it blew my mind. There would be times where I'd be like, I'm going to see if I can catch it. And they'd be like, oh, my God, he likes to throw rock a lot, about 47% of the time. But if he doesn't... He likes to throw paper, and that's another 47% of the time. So that leftover time, it's like, how the hell do you think of this?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you make a ESPN show on a Paper, Rock, Scissors tournament, here's how I think that somebody could be good at that, other than understanding other people's tendencies. But how do you know?
But here's the thing. Like, if somebody's going to read your stats, like, going into this tournament, and be like, he likes to throw this that many times, he likes to throw this that many times. I got him figured out.
But then,
he's gonna throw us. I'm like, the whole time, if they think my bigger tendency is to throw rock and then it's gonna be like throw paper, I'm throwing scissors the whole match. Like, I just to mess with somebody.
But here's the real kicker. Who the fuck cares? I mean, really.
But that was the thing was, like, it wasn't a small grand prize. It was, like, 50,000 large.
Which is insane to me.
It's a huge amount of money. I think it might have been even more
than that. Do you want to know how I think that somebody could be good at paper scissors outside of, like, knowing tendencies? If that's even a fucking thing, I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, here's
if
how...
If you're Ray Charles, like, how, and you just hear it...
Here's how I think they do it. I think guys have such great reaction time. To the point where a guy gets down, the further your hand goes down, and they see your hand your fingers, change or your hand turn or whatever. That's why I bet you paper. This is totally spitballing here, but if a guy comes down and he's about ready to go paper, he starts to turn his hand. If a guy can pick that up earlier and flip his and do his shit, it would be like a guy with a split
That's
second kind of reaction
right there. That's solid.
It would be, but you still can't. Come down like halfway and be like, oh, half rock. You know what I mean? Like, because then that's a loss.
You know what I always thought though? Like, what if, like, I never saw it. Like, I never heard anything about it. But, like, if a guy in these competitions ever came down and just goes, didn't know what to pull, and he just goes, lava. In the CRISPR, Drew, you get the Coors. Far bottom.
Okay, yep.
Yes, sir. But, like, if you just want, like, lava or, like, grenade or nuke or something like that, like, just, like, the one random thing that just, like, as kids we used to do, like, lava kills everything. Can't do it.
Which I'm pretty sure to be against the rules in the ESPN community.
But then the ref just comes in and is like, hold up. It's in the rule book, page 76. You guys have 76 rules on this thing?
Is there a rule book for paper rock scissors?
I don't know. like it has to be like it has to be within 2 inches of like touching the palm to like call your thing, so everybody's just like this.
Right.
Like never touching the palm, you can just constantly keep doing it.
it's epic, man. Like I love when they throw random shit on ESPN like that. But then they got here we'll get into the other two obscure sports that we both genuinely actually enjoy and we have done and we
still kind of
do. Bags and poker.
Oh my god.
Okay, first of all, bags is elite. Okay, when did bags become big? Like when do you remember bags becoming like a big thing where people would do that tailgating? They would do it at parties.
It was in a
barbecue.
College to me, it was right off of college.
It was, but like how? Here's my thing. Like, why did that take so long to be huge? Like, how did that just become like a huge thing 10 years ago? That's like one of the great drinking games you can.
I think America in general just waits for the youth to become alcoholics.
Well, yeah, and they're pretty good at picking up when that happens.
And like in the Midwest, obviously, we pick up on it a lot more. But for me, we talked about this a little bit earlier. It's a very athletic sport, surprisingly. You have to be very accurate. You have to do a placement.
That's not athletic. It's not surprisingly athletic.
There is
some athleticism involved. I'm saying this is obscure.
It's more of an accuracy thing. It's a hand-eye coordination kind of thing. But it's also like a placement, like bowling. It's in a sense, it's like bowling.
Yes. Okay.
By the way, another sport that's obscure that's on ESPN.
Not 100% obscure because a lot of people do it.
I don't understand bowling on ESPN.
But like bags, like think about it. We've been playing bags now for...
Years.
Yeah, years. 10 years. And we do it. And what do you do when you play bags? You get shit-faced.
100%.
I don't know if I've ever played a game of bags sober.
A game of bags sober is no fun.
And you know, like that's why I practice them so bad. Like,
if you're a recovering alcoholic, this is the wrong podcast for you to listen to right now. I'm just telling you this right now.
It's 100% like the worst podcast you can listen to. You're cracking beers in the background and having an awesome time.
Oh my god, I remember bags relapse.
Yeah. But like you think about it, like you're throwing bags, you're hammered like most of the time. I mean, at least you know. But for me, because I don't play.
For
bags.
Us, like
I don't think I ever set.
We like, played it having a good time, like though that was the thing about it. We played it having a very good time.
We had a good time before we played it. Typically.
Exactly.
And then we had a good.
But
time
it was
while
more
we were
fun.
Playing and after we.
But then that's when the intensity kicked up, and that's when it became more of a sport. Like it was very competitive.
Yeah, because people are like, man, this is really fun, even when I'm sober.
Yeah, you're like,
even though
you're,
I don't know what that
you're
means.
Literally counting points. You're washing off the board.
Yeah,
like, oh god.
Make your own boards. Get your own.
Yeah.
It's like a home field advantage.
Like, for me, my boards are made out of like gym wood. By like Mike Enright, like most solid boards I've ever had.
Yeah.
And it's a golfer's logo on one, and it's a UNDC logo on the other for my wife. And it's like the best set of boards. Like everybody always asks me to bring them everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go.
If you got a good set of boards too, like that's that's part of the game too. Like, yeah. if you gotta understand the boards.
Oh god.
You gotta understand the boards. You gotta understand, is it when you hit the board, is it gonna bounce? Is it gonna be slow?
Is it gonna bounce? Yeah, exactly. Is it hollow? Yeah.
See, there's a little bit of strategy to bags.
In a sense, yeah, it fits in there with, like, I guess it's like a bar sport.
It's 100% because fucking bars put on bags tournaments.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, on ESPN, you look at it, you see pool.
Yeah, and then you got like five people stumbling outside, like, "Let's give me the bags. We're gonna fucking play this game."
But around here, you see it a lot more often. Like, where sports, not even so much sports. It's like the bar sports are like actually dominant around here. Like, people actually excel at them. Like Nick Heck. Oh my god, he's like probably one of the best bag players I've ever seen. But Eric Gast?
Yeah, Gast are good.
Kyle Gast?
Yeah, they're good.
Probably some of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're good too. But then again, like, the pros are like automatic. They're unbelievable. Like, the guys that, like,
okay, so I got to play to a certain sense of, like, I'm going to wash up points or I'm going to try to sing them in the hole. Like, I can be pretty good, but nowhere near pros who, like,
They can place it really well.
They wash it. Yeah. They like,
if they know they don't have an angle, like,
how good do you get at that point?
They can put it to block points. It's honestly, it's pretty impressive. Like, it's a simple, concept.
That's a simple game.
But there's some skill. There's definitely skill involved.
Mm-hmm.
Playing, you know, because you're playing against, you're playing to sometimes, based on how many points you have to win, to go out and score. If you make it in the hole, it's not good. You know, yeah. Depending on how the rules are or whatever, but like, you can block the hole, you can build a wall around the hole if you're that good, which these pros are.
Mount it up, yep.
When I go out and I play bags, I'm hammered and I'm throwing bags 45 feet over the fucking board, like, and I'm having the best time of my life.
I always like the times where it's like they're just right on the cusp of the hole, like they're just hanging over the ledge, and you're like, all right, I got to try to place it over and have it come back.
Yeah, you think you're that good.
You're like, I see it. And you throw it, and it just lands flop right on the board and knocks in, like, the two other bags that you're trying to get around it. You're like,
right, you got to know if that bag's going to go in if you hit the board. Like, there's a lot of shit you got to think about.
Like, I thought I was going to do way better on that one.
But then, yeah, obscure sport.
Okay, bags. So, like, pool. Like, no, let's get into pool.
Pool's been on ESPN for a long time, though. Very long time.
Remember the girl, the Black Widow? Like, who was, like...
Yeah,
one of the hot Asians.
She's really good. And then they had the chick with the glasses, but I can't remember her name. She had a butch haircut and stuff.
Like, everybody was like, "I'm gonna wear black pants and like a black top."
Yeah,
like, that was it. Like, everybody like looked like they were gonna be plumbers. It's like
the pool garb.
Yeah,
like, that's what you wear when you, but, you play pool.
Why is it like, honestly, one of the coolest things I've ever seen though is like when I saw ESPN have pool on there. It was literally the trick shots. Like, how do these people think of these trick shots that they're doing?
Practice for, like, sure.
Slicing the ball all the way down to one end of the pool table, coming back around, like, then going back around the other
perfect
end.
Spin.
Yeah.
Like, just like putting balls, like making like a ball right in front of you, you can either chip it or over, around. Like, you can.
Yeah. It's crazy about it. Like, when I think about like chipping it to give it like that little necessary curve to cut back, I feel like I'm going to be tearing up all that.
Yeah,
all that green. I'm going to be tearing up all that fabric.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, I'm such a shitty pool player. But when you play pool fucked up, like, mm-hmm. when you play pool, like, legitimately intoxicated, here's the one thing that, I'll tell you a story. I was playing pool one time in a bar, and I was just like, I was a junior, like a junior in college. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, I think I was 21 or 21 years old, probably. So, like, I decided to get a little cocky. I had a big lead and all that shit.
Yeah.
And I had a pool shot where I had a ball that was, like, literally, like, right in front of me. I'm like, I'm going to jump this one. So I did the thing where I put the pool cue like way up,
and then you tried hopping around.
And I was hammered. I'm like stumbling around, you know, a little bit. So I'm like trying to keep my balance while I'm trying to do this, which didn't go well. So I get up there trying to chip the ball, and I like put a lot of mustard on it with the stick. And the pool cue, like, and I snapped it. Like, I went down and I hit it so hard and I missed the ball completely. I hit the table and the thing shattered. I'm like, oh. That's how you know you had too much to drink.
Okay, so let's see. We visited Jeff probably about Jeff's coming. We visited him like 2-3 years ago. We were in Minneapolis. We went to Brit's Pub. Like, me and my brother love to go to Brit's Pub. It's like one of the most amazing places ever. But Eddie Lutz was there and Matthew O'Shea was there.
Was this three days ago?
That's like 3 years ago.
Oh, 3 years ago.
Three years ago.
You were here 3 days ago.
But we were playing a game of pool. Jeff like brought it up, or like Matt O'Shea did. And we were all a little tipsy, and we were sitting there playing, and we broke the balls out, and it started off like a normal game.
A fool.
Like, one person hit ball in, another person hit a ball in. That was it. But an hour and a half later, we're still playing the game, and those two balls are still the only two balls hit in. And, like, I don't know, have you ever seen the episode of Boy Meets World where, like, it's, like, the longest horrible game ever played? It's, like, we're hitting balls, and, like, the balls are going in the hole, and they're coming back out, like, out of nowhere. Like, we're shooting a ball down the line, and then all of a sudden just hooks just, like, straight left, like, out of nowhere. Like, the stick just bends like a floppy tank, and it's...
That's what bars do with their pool stuff, so they keep you there for long. You keep buying drinks.
I remember, like, we looked, my brother, and me and my brother were just laughing, like, oh my god, this is the shittiest game I've ever played in my life. Like, it's everybody's shittiest game we've ever played. Like, there's no...
The pool was slanted.
It was so bad. I remember Eddie was so tall that he could literally just, like, go over anywhere he wanted to with that pool cue, and he could just, like, chop it in. But, like, even he couldn't sink anything. It was, like, it was such a horrible game, pool. But, like, that's why I get so much respect for actual pool players who are, like, pros.
Yeah, that can, like, do all that crazy stuff.
If we played a game like that, and they're just, like, chipping it in, like, no big deal. Like, I'll use a spoon. How the fuck did you just do that?
Yeah, no, it's a crazy game. Like pool, like, it's a bar game, just like bags is, you know, like...
Correct.
You know?
Like, darts. Like, oh my god. That's another one that I didn't really
think about. Yeah,
darts is...
Darts is
like, Nick Hecht is... I'm pretty damn good at darts.
He's like the obscure sports legend. Like, the guy can play all
Nick?
Those
yeah,
bar
is.
Sports.
Yeah.
It's probably because he spent a lot of time
he
on
saw,
darts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Probably has a lot to do with it.
And he looks
a lot
like...
of practice.
He looks like Hyde from That 70s Show. Or a rooster from...
With a shaved head.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Butch and all hell, for sure.
Bags, spelling bee, like, all these crazy-ass sports. Poker, another game we talk about all
but
the time.
But your dad's a big poker player.
Yeah, my dad goes to Vegas probably 6 or 7 times a year and plays.
Has he ever won, like, a big tournament?
He does well. He's not, like, he like, teaches still, so he doesn't go there too much
How does that work?
In
okay,
the winter,
so
in the fall.
Your dad is a...
There's a poker leagues in town.
Yeah, but your dad is a Catholic school teacher, right?
What does that have to do with anything?
Don't you have to believe in Catholicism at all?
Why, would that...
Gambling is against... Gambling is a sin.
In the Catholic Church?
Yes.
No, it's not.
It is.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say.
It is 100%. It's a sin.
No, irresponsible gambling.
You can't find loopholes for it.
Yes, no, it's if you're losing all your money and you're not good at it, not being able to get out, I feel like it would be considered a sin. I don't know the Catholic.
Oh, God.
But no, it's not a sin. I'm
pretty sure it's a sin.
You can say whatever you want, but
I say we get Father Larry out here.
I don't think, that's the wrong guy. No, we used to play poker games all the time when we were kids.
No, we did. I love playing poker. We used to go to Hex Place at, like, probably midnight, and we'd actually play poker until, like, 5 o'clock in the morning, literally, some nights. Or we used to go to your place.
Yeah.
I remember one time we took a pot. Me and Riley McMahon were playing against each other, and I think I took you out first, and you were so pissed off. You're like, why would you stay in on 9 deuce? Yeah. Why would you stay in on 9 deuce? Like, ha, bluffing. And I beat you.
Yeah, that's luck. That's not literally,
no
skill.
No, there was no skill to it. I had a bluff because, like, I was low on chips. I was like, I have to make my move right now.
On a 9 deuce.
A 9 deuce. It was a stupid move, but I was like, the only way I could do it. And then the next thing you know, the flop was like 2-2-9.
And I had like pocket kings or something.
It was like pocket kings.
I remember it because I'm like, you guys need to get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah,
and then you just ruined my entire
game. And then me and Riley were sitting there, like, me and Riley weren't even playing. Me and Shitty were just like, all right, well,
Yeah, I'm going
Bob, to bed. Bob, do you want to take second or you want to take first? I'm like, let's see who's going to win this hand. Let's play blackjack instead. We'll see who's going to win.
You guys ruined, like, the game.
And I got like 90 bucks and Shitty got like 70 bucks.
You ruined the integrity of the game.
It was not the integrity.
You did. You ruined the
it
whole thing.
It was fun.
But yeah, no, like poker, like that's another game on ESPN. But that is not, I wouldn't, that's not athletic.
Sorry, Chris.
That's on the same level as
yeah,
well. It's not the same thing.
It's an intelligent thing.
It's intelligence
and
mathematics.
Statistics, yeah.
So it's not a sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's no athleticism involved.
But okay, so now this just brings up a question for me. basically all sports are built on mathematics and statistics in a sense, right?
Okay, but that's not why it's a sport.
No, I'm not saying that, but like, so at some point in time, do you think it's less of a sport when you start thinking about like statistics, like 90% of the guy, or like 90% of the time a guy's going to run a ball this way on third down? Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with, that's part of the, like, the, not the actual athleticism part, though. That's what I'm saying. It's not.
Yeah, so that's what I'm asking you. Like, so you're basically solely basing it on, like, everything what is the sport is
not athleticism? If you say that, then everything is math. Everything's math. Everything is.
Not true.
Everything's math and science. Arts? You could spin that any way you want, but it
Loch Ness Monster? That's science.
Yeah, sure. That makes you feel better about this whole
thing. I'm just telling you right now, man.
There are statistics for everything, Rob. Everything.
Do you look at that? Did you take the blue or the red pill today?
Both of them. What happens when you take the blue and the red
pill? I don't know. That's what I want to know, too. Like, what if you were Neo? What if you're Neo in that Matrix and you're just like, both? And yeah. You just drop it in and it's like, and ecstasy.
What if he stiff-armed Lawrence Fishburne in the face? Like, give me them both because he's a junkie. Mixes them up and then he snorts them. Then what?
What if Lawrence Fishburne just comes up running and he's like, he took both. I don't know what to do.
That would have been a panic move on. He should have saw it coming. Neo was a junkie in that movie, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't a junkie. He was just a loner. Like, he was like a loner computer guy.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Like, there's no way that Keanu Reeves.
What was the pill that he did take?
The red. Okay. The reality. Blue is a fantasy.
I'd like, fuck that. Give me the red. I'm sticking to my guns here.
Wait, so you'd want to be in the Matrix?
No, I'd want. You just said that it would be.
That's the reality. Fantasy is blue. Fantasy is the made up.
All right, world. Give me the blue. I got a good thing going here. That's tough. He'd be like, hey. He's like,
I don't know what I'd do.
What if Lord? Okay, if he would have phrased it differently, you think Neo would have taken the other pill? If he was like, hey, Neo, you can keep going on living your life comfortably. You got a job. Okay,
if Lawrence Fishburne brought it to me, I'd keep on thinking like, Lawrence Fishburne, I got so many questions about Boys in the Hood to ask you. Like, that would be like my first thought. Like, answer me these first and then I'll take the pill. And he's like, we don't got time for that. I was like, can you answer him later? He's like, yeah, take the red pills. All right, done deal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you that like, you, like the like I would have taken the, let's stick to your, what, do you want to keep living a sweet deal here, a sweet life, or do you
want, wasn't a sweet life, he had a pretty shitty life, didn't he though? Like, he was living in an apartment that was like run down. He was like,
oh, yeah,
he was like a computer,
I guess, you got a point. I'm saying, if they asked me,
yeah,
I'd be like, yeah, I got a good thing going here. Like,
I work for FedEx.
Yeah. Fuck off.
I guess, yeah, I would just say the same thing. It's like, I got it. Yeah, I got it.
I'm doing all
right. Big house.
And like, but I need you. Like, you're my guy. Like, you're the one. Like, yeah.
But anytime you want to come around with them, just yeah, like, come on down. We'll hang out. We'll chat. All right. We're going to take a quick break here, guys. And we're going to kind of resettle up here before we start talking about fantasy football. Drew, are you going to be ready for that?
I'm prepared.
I think I am a little bit too.
A little bit. We're a little prepared.
All right, guys. Give us a quick few seconds here and we're going to get prepared. All right, guys. We are here to ignite the fantasy football season. Yes, it is a little early, but still, I think a lot of people are having questions about what is going to be going on. Top rookie steals that we should be able to pick up. Sleepers. All sorts of different things, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun for us. I think me and Drew are really excited for this because we get to actually see these guys develop and come from college football, which we both love to watch. I think that we're both enthusiasts on the sport itself for college football, and we can't wait to actually discuss things with you guys and why we've seen the upside of a lot of these different players. So we kind of have like a top five sleepers list, in a sense. For me, the number one rookie, I think if anybody watches any football in general, I think you're going to be looking at Saquon Barkley. Number one. He is a guy that can run the ball. He has a 4.3 kind of type of speed. He's shifty in the backfield. He can run over people as well. But his deadliest thing about him is he has hands too as well. He can catch out of the backfield, which is like one of the most amazing things in the world. He can make a play happen out of nothing.
Yeah, no, that's a guy that definitely should be targeted relatively early. Thing I like about Barkley more than anything is the fact that I think, and I'll say this right now, he's going to have Eli Manning as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take a lot of pressure. I think Eli Manning could be kind of a sneaky quarterback play this year.
He can.
And I say that strictly based on the fact, and there's two guys that are on this list of mine that I like based on the fact that they have, well, at least quarterbacks. But running backs wise, Barkley is going, he's all the things that you said. He's an extremely well built guy.
Yeah.
He's top end speed. He's shifty. I think everybody kind of has a pretty good idea that Barkley's going to be an incredibly valuable piece of the Giants.
I think he's going to be what Reggie Bush really never should have been. Yeah, that what he should have been.
Reggie Bush was always built so. But Bush was a speed guy.
He was a speed guy.
There was no between speed the tackle shifter. Ability at yep. all.
Once people
figured that out, that when he was in the backfield, he was going outside yep. the tackles.
Yep, when you have Saquon Barkley, you can run that trap inside or something. Yeah,
absolutely, and he can make guys miss in the hole.
Yep,
he can catch the ball in the backfield. Mm-hmm. He's an intelligent football player. He's got good hands, and Eli Manning is a guy that I kind of like, not necessarily in like my top, you know, like top yep. eight quarterbacks, because you know he's going to throw his interceptions. He's going to have really bad games still, but putting Saquon Barkley in the backfield with him is going to be extremely beneficial for him, and here's why. Because Manning hasn't had a running back that has gone over 1,000 yards.
Oh my God, no!
More than twice in his whole career.
We've both watched, I think, the Giants in the past few years, Monday Night Football, and everything like that. It's a big key for Monday Night Football. Like, Giants are a huge thing. Not even just the Giants, anything New York team.
Yeah, yeah, it's a market, big market.
But when you look at it, literally Manning had no running backs last year whatsoever.
He's had running backs for the last 4 years.
In the year prior, like exactly. So to have him on the field. What else does that open up? That opens up not just Eli Manning. It opens up Odell Beckham, for sure. It opens up their tight end that they just got from Alabama.
Everybody's going to benefit from Saquon Barkley
exactly.
In the backfield. Yeah, I feel
it. It takes so much focus off everybody else.
I agree, 100%.
Drew, what do you have for... Saquon's your number one?
He's my number one rookie.
Yeah.
Obviously, he should do you be just for
wanna
everybody.
Do you just want to do rookies right now?
We'll do a little bit.
Okay,
here. Go ahead. But I will throw out my rookies here. There are a couple guys that I like that you'll probably be able to snake later in the later rounds. As a guy who genuinely despises the Philadelphia Eagles for obvious reasons, they made a really, really sneaky pick in the, I think it was the mid-second, late-third, tight end Dallas Goedert, a guy from South Dakota State. This is a guy who I watched a little bit.
That's your number two?
No, I'm number two. I'm just throwing out guys.
Sleeper
like,
picks.
Rookies that I Super like. Picks, yeah. Yeah, guys that you might be able to sneak out sure. later.
Yep.
I like Dallas Goedert a lot because Philadelphia got rid of Burton. He went, I'm not 100% sure exactly where he went. But Dallas Goedert is a guy who, at South Dakota State, was their leading receiver as a tight end. He's long. He's tall. Long arms. He's fast. He's athletic. He was a basketball player, which we've found out have translated pretty well at times in the NFL. Gates yeah. and whatnot, Antonio Gates.
Sure.
Peppers. Like it's a relatively smooth transition for yeah. some guys. But this guy's got a lot of the tools that I like out of a tight end, especially mm-hmm. he's got Carson Wentz throwing in the football. They run a lot of two tight end sets. Zach Ertz is a really good tight end too. He's obviously the Wentz's favorite target.
I think that right now when you look at that though, it's the perfect situation for Wentz because it's almost like a Tom Brady's like S situation.
Yeah, they ran a lot of two tight end sets too.
You had Gronk on one side, you had Anthony Hernandez before he went and goes and kills everybody. But now then you just had Gronk. But like now you have that double set. You had Zach Ertz, who's like a very hands receiver. He's not going to really cut up yardage, but he's going to catch a ball.
He will cut up yardage because he gets targeted a lot.
But that's what I mean. Like he'll find him an open spot. He's not going to be like a guy who's going to catch a ball at the like 5 yards out. He's going to be cutting up some yards.
He's not a
like
huge. Slight. He's not a huge run after.
Whereas
right. Goddard could be.
Yeah, exactly. When you have Dallas out there, he's got range to the point where he will find that open gap. He will find some room to run a little bit here and there. But he'll also be like a deep threat down in the red zone. Say 20-25, tossing it up to him. He's got some. Pretty wide range.
He's
arms.
Got a lot of really good tools for an offense like that yeah. runs a lot of those two tight end sets.
Exactly.
And he's a guy that
especially when you're drawing people off.
He's a guy that might not be drafted early in a lot of people's drafts. Like on their if they line up their top however many tight ends, he might be a guy. Might be a guy you could sneak in later in the draft that could pay huge dividends because Ertz also hasn't stayed healthy.
No.
For the last couple of years.
And I think that's where it can be like a J.R. Reed kind of thing, like where you have Reed and Vernon Davis.
Reed and Davis type of thing. But those, I mean, I think both of these tight ends are athletically better than those two guys.
Sure.
Davis, I mean, Vernon Davis, he's a good athlete. He's not as good a receiver. I mean, he's not a great route runner.
Sure.
But I really like the kid. I think he could really help out a fantasy team being for like a number two tight end. Because let's be honest, injuries in football are pretty damn common. So like, anything happens to Ertz, this is a guy that you could be able to pick up if nobody has him. But I'm assuming he's going to go at some point in somebody's draft because there's going to need to be. Depending on it all depends on the kind of draft you're doing too.
But at
the same time, you got Goddard. Saquon Barkley.
So when you start off your draft, what do you usually start off with?
Well, it depends on the
on the league. Let's go with your first three picks. Say it's a points league.
Le'Veon Bell is the number one overall, in my opinion. He's also playing for money now too, which is that's a driving factor there. He's a guy that doesn't get hurt either.
Sure.
I mean, he's a running back that stays on the field, and he. Those big backs like that, those big strong backs that don't get hurt.
230, 240 chew plus up, pounds.
Can run the ball 35 times and not think, not think twice about it. Like they'll keep giving him the ball. And
I think he's several times he's actually said that he's wanted to. It's not the fact that he wants to be the most highest paid running back. He wants to be that. He wants to be known as like the player. He doesn't want to be just known as a running back. He wants to be known as a playmaker itself, which really makes me actually root for him in the sense. Get him that money. The guy's risk. An average lifespan of like a running back, like when you turn 22, 24 years old, it's like a matter of like years.
Right.
It's like 4 years. You're taking such a force on yourself.
Yeah.
And like I didn't realize.
Running back's a tough position. I mean, exactly. there's no longevity in that position at all.
Like when I saw the documentary about like Jerome Bettis, like how hard it was like actually for him to get up out of bed and like what he has to go through, like the arthritis, and I was like, that's so brutal. And it's like, he's like, I felt this at like 31 years old and it's just gotten progressively worse. I'm like, and you play until you're 35? You kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, no. Why?
Some guys just enjoy the game.
I love the sport, but like, would I risk my longevity to like be with my kids and be with my children or family in general? Right. It's a tough one to call right there, man.
Yeah. It's a brutal sport and it's, for that reason, you mean running backs, their shelf life isn't very high. And
that's why I give them all the respect in the world, truthfully.
Yeah, it's a tough position to play in that league, for sure.
Okay, so you had Dallas, right? I went with, here's a surprising one, okay, so like Sonny Michel. Okay, so there's two running backs taken from Georgia in the draft this year.
Yeah, Nick Chubb and
Sonny Michel. Nick Chubb got a little bit worse from the deal. He went to Cleveland. But it's not because he went to Cleveland. It's because he's playing with Carlos Hyde. He's playing with Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson had 1,000 yards receiving out of the backfield.
Biased.
No, it's not a biased thing. It's the fact that he had 1,000 yards receiving out of the backfield. Like, that's a pretty solid running back stat to have.
Yeah.
But then you have Carlos Hyde, who's going to be... Like, they have the 1-2 combo already. For him to find playing time, he has to upset Carlos Hyde in that aspect to actually get the running time.
Yeah, I mean, that's running backs these days too. You're splitting carries. A lot of guys are splitting carries.
But
if you have multiple running backs, it's better for your team.
Exactly.
It will drive down. That's why Le'Veon Bell is going to be a number one overall type of guy because the guy gets touches, and he doesn't take a lot of plays off. Who the fuck can name Pittsburgh's backup running back?
Some people probably can, but he's
meaningless.
Back in the day, it used to be Rashard Menhall, and I want to know what the hell happened to him.
Who cares? He's done.
But my number two, okay, aside from Nick Chubb, I'm just saying, is Sonny Michel, actually. I think he's a sleeper pick. He's playing for New England, and New England, Belichick likes to rotate his running backs. Absolutely. He can break it out like crazy. So Sonny Michel played in that two-back set where he had to make his opportunities run. Him and Nick Chubb, that was one of the craziest things. You had 2,000-yard runners in the same season. It wasn't like you were playing him the second half of the game. You were playing the same amount of time, damn near. Yeah. And he was catching balls out of the backfield.
They both weren't 2,000-yard rushers, but I know what you're saying.
That's what I mean. But I think Sonny Michel is going to be a huge pickup. Like, for him to be on his own now.
One time your quarterback's named Tom Brady and a guy that genuinely enjoys throwing running
backs. That's another thing, too. Like, they know how to utilize players to the best of their ability that they can.
Yeah.
So that's why I like Sonny Michel as a second pick. He is a great fantasy player, I think, in my eyes, to come out. I don't say pick him up in the first two rounds. I say pick him up in later rounds.
These are all late. A lot of the guys we're going to say here. Yeah. Some of these rookies are going to be
aside from Saquon Barkley, I would probably take in the one or two. Just as a surprising factor, just to hold on to
him. I don't. Just, that would be...
Because he's going to be your number one back.
Yeah, running backs, I mean, are important. So, but I agree with you. The Patriots do like to target their running backs, and anytime you can get some value later in rounds...
Yeah.
I mean, those are the kind of guys that you need to find to win any kind of league that you're in. That's those guys. And then in terms of wide receiver, what do you got? Do you have any wide receivers on your list?
I got Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley is like number four on my list. Calvin Ridley's huge. I think Atlanta, you have Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. You're going to have Sano.
I like that.
I think it's a solid pickup. And then plus, not to mention the fact that you have Matt Ryan, who loves to sling that ball. When he has another speed receiver on another side to beat somebody one-on-one, it's going to be hell. Plus, you have Devonta Freeman, who's in the backfield, who's going to kill it for you.
Tevin Coleman.
Exactly. You have a whole setup of, like, you have this whole slew of offense right in front of you that is just meant to tear things up.
Yeah, and it's all about the consistency of Ryan, too, because there's times Ryan just has bad games.
Exactly.
And he's a good quarterback.
He can have very bad games.
And
it's misreads. It's everything.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley, that was, I like that pick a lot. That was a, because he was one of the best receivers in college football last year.
Oh, God, yeah. Alabama. And that's the thing, too. You see Mark Cooper. Amari Cooper and him are kind of in the same sense. A little bit faster, Calvin Ridley, I think, in my eyes. Amari Cooper had the better of the hands.
He might be the best route runner of the three.
Though. Yeah, exactly. And then my other receiver, and it you're going to say a bias on it already, I can guarantee you.
Don't you dare say Stacy Coley.
No. Okay. I can say Stacy Coley. But it's because he fits in with the prototypical offense of New England. Braxton Berrios. He was picked up by New England. He is a short, small, slot receiver.
Yes. I actually do like that a lot, too. And I wrote him down, but I'll let you talk about him because you're the Miami guy.
The guy has been working his ass off for years. Like, and finally, he got to show it off last year. He caught about 8 or 9 touchdowns last year. Solid receiving, solid hands. He wasn't just a guy that was going to break stuff off for you. He ran routes to a T. He shifted guys off him. He was solid.
He's been a 4-year starter for Miami.
Three-year starter. Yeah. He got time in his freshman year, but it wasn't like anything huge.
He screams Edelman to me, but he's,
that's what I mean.
But he's not nearly as shifty as Edelman.
No, that's the only thing. And that's the thing too. Like, everybody's like, oh, is he fast? He's in a different sense of fast. He's shifty.
He's quick.
He knows how to make cuts. Like, so when he's running a route, he'll run like a 10-yard out, and he'll shift back real quick. He knows how to play D-backs.
I'll say this. In terms of, like, Edelman and Berrios and all those guys, they are in that perfect system because it's a lot of quick movement. Brady's going to put the ball where it needs to be almost every time.
And that's the reason I say
you just need to gain a little separation. He's a poor man's Edelman.
Exactly.
That's what he is. He's a poor man's Edelman. But when you have a quarterback like Tom Brady, I agree. Like, I think you could find some value
there. I give him, honestly, all the highest praise because, honestly, I got to see him play his best football last year for the first time.
Yep.
And it wasn't like a touchdown catch that really, like, caught my eye. It was the fact that he was going up for ball. The guy is, like, 5'8", 5'9", max.
Yeah, no, it's...
Going up in the air, and he's getting chopped down midair, and he's still holding on to the ball. The guy had hands. It's like the thing. Like, he plays the sport. He loves it. And he plays through it hurt. And I think that's why I give him all the credit in the world. He is a prototypical New England Patriots football receiver. Like, that is flat out it.
Yeah. Oh, that's for sure. I could see any time you can throw in a receiver there that you think's going to get some targets from Brady. Yeah. It's going to be probably a pretty efficient.
Exactly, and that's the thing too. It might be like a 1 or 2.
The only thing I don't like about when you're targeting a lot of these Patriots skill guys is that Tom Brady is one of the best at spreading the ball around. You might get less exposure.
You risk that chance, definitely.
But there are guys that just go up for huge games with Brady because it's all based on, like, a scouting report, and Brady knows.
Here's another reason why I base Braxton Berrios being, like, a sleeper pick, actually, and, like, a guy that can actually produce. So they picked up Cordell Patterson, Patriots. I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that, Drew?
Say it again?
They picked up Cordell Patterson.
Yeah. No,
but they also dropped Brandon Cooks. So, like, Brandon Cooks was only there for a year, and then they dropped him.
It screams to me like the Patriots are just giving up.
But they also had Philip Dorsett, which is another Miami player, which I thought was going to be huge in the slot. It was just a straight speed guy, but he can never learn the routes. Like, that was a big problem. I'm pretty sure he's gone out there. So you have Cordell Patterson, who I think they just brought on for returns for the most part. But then you have Braxton Berrios. I think that they're really trying to revamp their game in a sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he's going to be a main focus.
I think the Patriots are going to, I hate to say this, but I think the Patriots are going to have a little dip this year.
Yeah, but I don't think it's
they're in a, they're still in a bad division. I think they're still going to make the playoffs, probably make a run because the division's bad. But their division is bad, and but let's be honest, like the purging they've done of their team this last year and year or two.
Oh, I mean,
who's like you better hope these guys pan out because Brady's going to have to do everything because their defense is going to be bad.
You could kind of see it starting to slip out when they got rid of LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount went to Philly. Philly released LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount's over in like Detroit now. But you can see it with a lot of their players. Obviously, you got Brandon Cooks shifting. Yeah, yep. You have. I'm pretty sure Philip Dorsett's gone. I honestly don't see Gronk suiting up again for a long time. If anything, I could see Gronk retiring within the next like 2 years.
Everybody says that. I don't. But he's
that's the thing too. He's so young. Like I don't say that he can. But he's so injury prone. It's ridiculous.
I could see a guy like that going on TV.
Yeah, well, 100%.
Like reality and all that shit.
When you had that whole Michael Phelps thing, and then you had the, was it Thorpe? Remember that other, like, the racer this summer? There was, like, another guy that was, like, named, like, Matt Thorpe or Austin Thorpe.
No idea what you're talking about.
So there's, like, an alternate personality. The guy was, like, a partier. He used to go out and drink Red Bull, and they had, like, a whole show about him, like, on reality TV. I can see Gronk being that next reality TV kind of guy is what I'm getting at.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's
completely shit.
I don't think he's gonna retire anytime soon. I think he says these things. I don't genuinely believe him.
I think after
he has had a lot of injuries though, so that would be a reason why that he might.
But. So like when I saw like he got injured last year and then he came back and then he got injured again. So but between then there was a point in time where he actually got injured and he got beat off the ball by like a cornerback who intercepted the ball. And next thing you know, like, the cornerback was on the ground. He just, like, did, like, a shovel step. And, like, just, like, he did, like, a patter step and just, like, went into the guy. Do you remember that? Yeah.
I remember that play, yeah.
And I was like, dude, something's going on with you right now. Like, you need to retire. Like, your head is so messed up.
I think the only way that I think he'd retire in the next 2 years is if he got another concussion. Because I know he's got concussion problems. And if he gets another one, I could see him packing it in. But yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Like, the Patriots guys, you got to understand that Brady's still there. And guys are going to get... They're going to score points. So you want to kind of capitalize on that by grabbing the guys that you think he's going to... These are obvious things to say. Grab a guy that you think Brady's going to be.
What do you have on your list, Drew?
So I went... The one receiver I like, and I got two other guys after this that I want to talk about, but... Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton, wide receiver out of SMU. He's a guy that I like because he is a he's going to a system. Case Keenum's going to be the starting quarterback for the Broncos this year, and as a Vikings fan, I watch Case Keenum quite a bit. He's an intelligent guy. Keenum knows where to get the ball. He went from a situation where he had two really good receivers and a really good tight end and solid running backs in Minnesota. And he's going to another place that has maybe not as good a running back, but he's got two wide receivers in Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, who are solid receivers. But I'm going to throw in the third receiver that the Broncos picked up, Courtland Sutton. He's a guy that I like because I think he's very similar. I think it's a different receiver than what Keenum was throwing to before. But Keenum was, he had Thielen, a great route runner. Thielen and Diggs were not necessarily big physical receivers. Great route runners, quick, fast, hands. Sutton's a physical guy that doesn't need a ton of space. He runs a 4.55, so he's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's got that long stride speed.
Courtland Sutton,
He's a guy I like because I think... I think that they're going to... Keenum didn't throw to Rudolph as much as I thought he would. He's a guy that has proven to throw favor his receivers. And Sutton is a guy that has... I could see him being a good red zone threat based on his size, 6'3", 210, physical, route runner, very good hands. And it's a system where Keenum is going to be, because there's not that much running. Keenum's going to have to throw the ball this year a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust any of the Denver running backs.
Oh, God, no. Oh. Don't they have Charlie Anderson still? Or do you leave?
Anderson's gone, I think. Even if he isn't, he's not good. So it doesn't really matter. But, I like the receivers in Denver this year, because I think Denver's quarterbacks were so bad last year, and they were still fairly productive. And Sutton's kind of that other. Thomas is he's very similar to Demaryius Thomas. They're very similar. Same. They're big guys, strong hands, pretty good route runners, intelligent. I think the reason I like Sutton the most though is because I don't trust Emmanuel Sanders to stay healthy. Okay. So if one of the Denver Broncos receivers goes down. He's going to be the number three guy.
The three's going to go up to two.
I think he's going to slide into the number three, and he was a guy that fell to the third or fourth round, and he was the whole year projected to be a first, second round pick, and he fell to the fourth, and he's a guy that I really like though, and I think that he could be a late steal too.
That's a solid steal. I like to think of the other one.
Any other guys you like?
I like Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, tight end. He's 37 years old. Yeah, sure.
Exactly. The Garnet Thor.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about him, actually, I think on a podcast. I think it was like podcast number two. I think at one point we talked about him. The guy's like 6'5", like 245 pounds, 250 pounds. Like he's a big dude.
Yep.
He's a big, big dude. And he can run. But he's with Baltimore. So you look at Baltimore, you have Joe Flacco, but Lamar Jackson, I think, is going to be taking a little bit more presence coming in here pretty soon.
Not this year, but
yeah, he will. I think he's going to learn the playbook, I think, for a long time. But even at that, I think that Baltimore picked up a few. They picked up a few receivers and stuff like that, running backs. They picked up Michael Crabtree for sure, but I think that Hayden Hurst is going to be contending for that number one spot, if not owning that number one spot. I really don't think that
with a gopher he's gonna be battling a gopher.
Exactly. So you have Max Williams, right?
No.
And Max Williams,
he hasn't stayed healthy.
He hasn't shown me anything really to stand out to break out to do anything.
He's missed two full seasons.
And that's
if he can stay on the field, I actually kind of like him too.
That Max Williams, we've all grown to know and love Max Williams because he has hands like none other. Like he's a very hands.
He's huge too. He's strong and he's big and he's.
Yeah. But you look at Hayden Hurst at the same time. It's like if you have both of them. I mean, if you're gonna run two back set,
They don't do a lot of two tight ends. Though. No, they definitely won't do it now with Crabtree.
No, but I'm saying if you look at it, and they have the two back set. Yeah, then both of them could really achieve a lot. But I think if you're running one back or one tight end set, you're going to be looking more at Hayden Hurst, I think.
I think that's what they're, if you don't draft a tight end in the first round, if you don't think he's going to be the guy that started out as your first
tight end. I think that Hayden Hurst is going to be catching a lot of passes this year. If you're running a points league where you're going to be getting a point per reception and a point per 10 yards, something like that, Hayden Hurst is going to be your guy. I mean, if he has 7 receptions and 37 yards, you're looking at 10 points right there. It's going to help you out a lot. But then, obviously, I'm going to go with another running back. I hate to do it because I don't talk a lot about defense. I mean, defense as a whole is like a different thing.
It doesn't matter in fantasy anyways.
Darius Geis.
I have him on too. I was going to talk about him too. Yep.
Darius Geis is a sleeper pick for Washington. Yep. I think Washington's going to build a lot. Alex Smith, Darius Geis. Yep. I think you have some deep threats. Or you have J.R. Reed still. You have some threats. You have threats, I think, everywhere on that field.
You have a threat in your running back now. I don't know about your receivers still. Your receivers are just DeSean Jackson.
But it's just DeSean Jackson. But I think when you look at it though, it's like Alex Smith is not going to feel as much pressure if Geis can actually play to what he's expected to do. I think he can get some yards out of the backfield. I mean, it's miles and miles away from like what you used to have with Alfred?
Alfred Morris.
Yeah, Alfred Morris. It's years away from that. You're going to have speed. You're going to have a little bit more pop. You're looking at an LSU back, a guy who's big, who's strong, who played underneath Leonard Fournette for the most part. He's got some playing time. He's got some experience. He's going to, I think, do pretty solid, I think, overall.
He's another guy, too, that I like. And I like targeting these running backs, these rookie running backs. I look at the situation that they're going into. I look at, are they a complete running back? Like, can they catch a ball? Can they do all that? Guy's is a decent receiver out of the backfield. But the thing I like about him is the fact that he's going into another situation similar to Barkley. Is Washington hasn't had a running back, and a really solid running back that has, played a full season and has been productive for a full season since I can't even tell you when. And he's a guy that could be a four down or a three down back.
Yep.
And he's a guy that I think he's going to get touches. Pirine's okay, but they like to throw the ball. Pirine's a third down back. Yeah. He's not much of a between. He's a smaller guy.
He's
between
a smaller the tackles.
Geis is a bull. He's a big guy. He's a bulldog. He's huge.
A little quicker. He's a
between the tackles.
Better
guy.
Stride, I should say.
He's a red zone running back. He can get you in from 2-3 yards out by breaking tackles.
Yep.
Pirine can't do that. Pirine just can't do that. And that's what I like about Geis. He's going into a situation where they haven't had running backs in a long time, and now they have Alex Smith, a guy who likes running backs, likes throwing to them. It's going to be a balanced offense. I really think Geis, he fell to the second round, I think. He fell too far. I think he was supposed to be a first-round pick. He fell to the second
round. He was supposed to be a first-round pick. But I think something happened where, like, when the questions that were asked about it was, like, the big deal about him. To the point where, like, it ended up being like a personality trait where they didn't like. I definitely think that Geis is a. I'm not a big fan of it, like the SEC, but they do put out some pretty fantastic players. I'm not gonna dispute that by any means. Like, they have some very, very talented athletes. Geis being one of them for sure. You reading up right now?
Well, who's your last? Do you have anybody else you like at the end there? I got one more guy I want.
Well, let's go with your guy. Let's see what you got.
The last guy I got is a guy that if you watch any like fantasy football shows and I do from time to time, a guy that I really really like and I'm gonna end up hating him because he's in our division, but running back for the Lions, Kerryon Johnson.
I was gonna bring him up, but at the same time, like there wasn't, I don't know.
Like I said before, I really like him. I like targeting these situations. Like I said,
but the Lions have like what, three running backs plus LeGarrette Blount, who they just picked up.
Guess what? None of the three running backs on that roster strike any fear into anybody. And this guy he's got burst. He's fast.
Barry Sanders?
He's not Barry Sanders, but I mean, he might be. I don't know.
Sanders coming back this year.
A lot of football pundits that are on, that do these fantasy football shows, a lot of them like this guy for Rookie of the Year over Saquon Barkley. And I think the reason for that is that he's in a situation where another situation, like Geis, like Barkley, no running backs. This is a situation where it's quarterback led teams throwing the ball 40 times a game.
Who are the running backs there?
Abdullah.
Yeah, there you go.
Theo Riddick. I don't know. Riddick's probably gone. Blunt's in, but Blunt is. You know what Blunt is?
Blunt's a hard nosed running back.
He's a first down 3-4 yard guy.
Yeah, he's
not going to get
4 yards in a crack.
I bet you. I would be willing to bet you that Blunt is strictly a red zone. Maybe he would probably be strictly a red zone.
Okay, so what you're not bringing up to a bigger attention is the fact that. Kerryon is not going to be. He's with Matthew Stafford, who likes to sling the ball. He's actually been way more controlling the past year.
He's controlling
the ball.
He's a great quarterback.
He's a very good quarterback that's never won a championship.
He won't until he leaves Detroit.
And he's never been put into consideration for like an MVP, really, for the most part. He's a very solid quarterback, very smart. He's very ballsy. He's like a Brett Favre.
He's a top seven quarterback.
I think putting him with Kerryon, like you said, I think that is a very fantastic move he's actually going to have a breakout year.
Because it's one thing to say, like, watching the Lions as much as I have because they play the Vikes twice a year. I watch them, and their running game is so fucking bad that, like, you just watch them, and their O-line is, they picked Ragnall this year, a really good run-blocking guard in the first round.
They pick up Sullivan, too, though.
What's that?
Don't they have Sullivan, too?
If they do, he's irrelevant. He's gonna be playing center. He's old.
Yeah,
he's
back problems. I'm pretty sure they picked up. Solomon,
yeah, he might. But if he's playing, they're in trouble. But no, Kerryon Johnson's gonna either. Ragnall is a guy that I really like. He's a rookie from Arkansas, yep. First round pick, to play guard, run block and guard or center. He's a guard center guy. He can play either one. He's gonna be very good for that offensive line. And then they got the running back running behind it. So that makes running back running behind a decent offensive line with Stafford as your quarterback. A team that's had absolutely brutal talent at running back.
Mm-hmm.
None, like, in the past however many years. They haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher in since fucking Vietnam. So, I mean, like, this, you look at it, and this guy is he's got top-end speed. He's a guy that's he's pretty shifty, like, but he's more talented than the guys they've had in there before. And then you put him with a guy who is a top seven quarterback, who has the ability to throw the ball 48 times a game like Rodgers and win a game for you. But to be able to balance that out and get this guy in the backfield with that kind of athleticism, speed,
sure,
top end break, I mean, screens, like, I mean, there's, this guy really, awesome. He's a guy that I really like. As well, and that's kind of my five sleeper rookies that I like.
That's my five sleeper rookies.
Well, Barkley's not a sleeper. Barkley's going to go early, but the rest of these guys I really like as might be able to sneak them later.
I agree with you, man, 100%. Let's kind of get into, like, what we can actually look forward to as, like, maybe a few sleeper picks that are guys who've already been established, guys that who you should take in a situation.
Oh, man.
So I'm going to go, you know, here's the thing. I'm going to go with Cleveland. Like, I think a lot of guys from Cleveland, if you go and take, say, like, David Njoku, like, obviously there's no bias.
Yes, there is.
He's a Miami player, yes, but he's playing with a way better team.
You mentioned, like, four Miami guys.
I said David Njoku, and I said Braxton Berrios. But if you look at David Njoku has a way better chance of actually performing a lot better than what he did prior because there's a lot less focus on him. He's got Carlos Hyde now. He's got Tyrod Taylor, a quarterback who actually can maybe make some stuff happen on the rollout and whatever. But you also look at them; they have receivers now.
They do have very good receivers now. Gordon,
their offense,
Landry.
Yeah, exactly. Their offense is revamped, and like I said, they have Carlos Hyde. They have another Miami running back, Duke Johnson, who caught 1,000 yards out of the backfield last season.
He did not catch 1,000 yards out of the backfield last season. There's not a chance in hell he did. I'm gonna correct Bobby here.
If I don't, you're gonna give me a six pack, whatever I want.
Okay. Duke Johnson.
I'm just gonna wait here for a quick sec. Yeah, I should set a record, folks. What was that?
Doesn't even have it on here.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, Drew.
1,000 yards. He caught. He had a 1,000-yard receiving season last year.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're gonna wait,
we're just sitting here waiting on Drew, guys. All right, we're gonna get back into it. So with Cleveland, not only is their offense reset, their defense is absolutely fantastic. Their defense is fantastic. They have
who's this?
Myles Garrett.
It's not fantastic yet. It's okay now. We'll see how they are this year.
Set up. Look, I'm going to stress this out as far as the matter. Not even close. You're reading the wrong stat, my friend.
74 catches for 693 yards.
Jesus Christ, Drew.
You're on meth. I knew Duke Johnson ain't catching 1,000 yards. You're out of your damn mind.
I'm sorry, he had 700 yards almost down here. My bad.
300 yards away, buddy.
My bad.
Blew it.
My bad.
I knew I'd catch you on
You never took that
shit.
Bet, though. You mm-hmm. never took that bet.
I didn't.
Either way,
their D has a chance to be good.
On paper, looks fantastic.
Has a chance to be good, yes, I agree.
Very fantastic. They made some big trades. Cornerback, they traded away a stupid cornerback pick.
They were a decent defense last year. They weren't bad. They weren't as bad as people think that they were. Their offense was
just
so bad.
They picked up some keynote players, I think, overall. And I'm not going to go and say who, just because you're going to say it's a bias. But they picked up some great players, I think, overall in the long run, that are going to help aid them to get better.
Yep.
And
if the defense can get the offense back on the field, too, that's where you're...
Exactly. I think that you could actually look at I would look more at Cleveland's offense. If you're going to be looking at anybody to pick up, I'd look at Cleveland's offense to actually pick up some fantasy points in my eyes. Minnesota, I think you look at Minnesota, anybody, I think on their offense, if you don't pick them up, you're stupid.
Yeah, it's going to be a... offensively, it's... I mean, Thielen, Diggs. The guy that I like the most is Rudolph. I think I've said it on previous podcasts, but...
I think Rudolph
is going to get targeted by Cousins, and he could have a big... 110%. He's going to be a big-time red zone target for Cousins.
But it's not even just that. I think overall, if you look at it, I think that if you go and see, obviously, you have Stephon Diggs, you have Adam Thielen.
Cook, Dalvin coming out. Cook can stay Dalvin healthy.
Cook he's, out of the backfield. Yeah. But then you're also going to be looking at like some slot receivers. People are going to be making some plays on offense.
Yeah,
like,
we're gonna score some points, I think.
But then you got to look at the defense. The defense is still stacked, like usual, per usual.
If it's a fantasy drafting,
if you're looking for a defense for this fantasy draft, I would if you're back to your like you know you're starting to go through defensive picks, I would look at Minnesota Vikings at first. I think, see, in my opinion,
I'm gonna disagree with you on that one. And the only reason that I say if you're expecting them to have a, I mean, don't get me wrong, they are a very good defense, and they are going to be a top. Probably top 10 defense. The reason that I don't like them as much
top five.
This year,
what was that?
It has nothing to do with their talent. It's the fact that they play all the best offenses in football this year. If their schedule is front loaded, it's the Rams, the Saints, the Eagles, the Packers twice, the Lions with this new running back that I fucking don't want in my goddamn division. They just play a lot of good offensive talent, so their defensive numbers might take a dip, but it's still a good defense. I don't know turnovers wise what you're going to get from them this year.
That's what I was about to get.
But they will be holding teams to field goals from time to time. Obviously, I don't know what kind of drafts people do, but different drafts. I would be waiting on taking a Vikings defense is not like a. I wouldn't say it's a priority strictly based on the fact. That their schedule is just horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Brady. Oh, I forgot to mention the Patriots are on their schedule.
What week is that?
10 or 8.
Yeah, they usually do midweek.
9 or 10.
They usually do midweek.
But yeah, like that's the Vikings defense is still very good. But in terms of like overall season numbers, they're going to probably take a dip based on the fact that they're taking on the best quarterbacks in football. Every fucking one of them. Every fucking one of them. Like Stafford, Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, Goff, Wentz, Jesus, all
Manning.
Of them. No, they don't play the Giants this year.
What's that?
They don't play the Giants this year.
Elway.
I see what you're doing now. You're just being a fucking idiot. Their numbers are going to take a day. Hopefully I'm wrong. I mean, because I'm a Vikings guy.
But you brought up actually a very good point, though, is that... I'm taking a look at it as like being a very aggressive defense who's going to actually...
Sacks, yes.
Do sacks. But you brought up turnovers.
Turnovers are going
to
be tough.
Turnovers is going to be... I think turnovers could actually be a very beneficial thing to us if Trey Lance plays like I think he can. You got Harrison Smith on the other side. Obviously, the safety.
You believe
spot.
That they're going to get more turnovers this year?
I think they can.
They have the ability to create turnovers, but it's with the quarterbacks that they're playing against this year. They're going to be less. There's going to be less of them.
I think so, but I think okay. So you're saying that obviously you're going to have smarter quarterbacks playing the position to actually make that.
You said earlier you like the Browns defense. I do too. I genuinely like the Browns defense.
Oh, look who it is! Hop along, Gretzky.
Yeah, the dog showed up.
The dog show. But no, I agree with you 100%. I think that something about the Browns defense is just like very surprising.
Here's why I like the Browns defense. It's in a similar fashion to the way the Vikings might take a dip this year. Their schedule's so weak, they're so strong. The Browns are getting more young and more athletic, and there's some talent on that side of the ball. They were good last year. They're also in a terrible division.
That's true.
They play the Bengals twice. The Bengals are going to be a garbage can. You've got the Baltimore Ravens. They're going to be unproven. I mean, a lot of them. I mean, you've got Flacco, but Flacco's past his prime. He's not great anymore.
Okay, so that's the thing that I was going to get to right now is that I... Okay, so Flacco is like their only... Their key holder right now. Before, when you thought of Baltimore, you thought great defense.
Absolutely.
You thought
when they won the Super Bowl, Flacco won it for them, though. Flacco was great when they won the Super Bowl.
Exactly. You thought Ray Lewis, you thought Terrell Suggs, you thought of like Holiday Nagata, yeah, no, you thought of a lot of
people. One of the greatest defenses to ever play football was that Ravens defense.
Exactly. And then now it's like, tell you the truth, Flacco's, like you said, Flacco's the one that brought you.
Now he's just hanging on because they got a quarterback in waiting that they like, obviously.
Yeah, he's in a help trainer.
But he's been bad the last couple of years. The Browns defense is getting better.
He's getting older.
Their offense is getting, like, Browns are getting better in general, and the Bengals are going to be terrible. The Bengals are going to be absolutely terrible.
I didn't even start on that.
Bengals, Ravens, those are four very winnable games for the Browns, where their defense could have a big, and then their schedule is going to be weak anyways because they're playing fourth place teams from different divisions. You know, because that's how they schedule it. You play the NFC South fourth place team because you're the fourth place team in the NFC. You're right. So that's why I kind of like the Browns defense for like a sneaky defense if you guys draft defense in your fantasy league.
Solid, Drew. I like it. Here, let me ask you something about this real quick. So we're looking at quarterbacks. We're going to go quarterbacks right now. We're not going to go running backs or receivers. Okay. We're going to go just quarterbacks. Just
top fantasy quarterbacks.
Okay. The reason we're going to do this is I think every week up until football, I think we can keep dropping these little hints and notes.
It's not hints. It's our opinions. We're fucking just as dumb as everybody else. But these are guys we're
making guesstimations of what they can do.
Okay.
Okay, let's go with QBs. Like, what would you have as your top? Obviously, I mean, everything's pretty consistent, I think.
Yeah, it's not too much different from years past. But Rodgers, number one.
Okay, you're going to go with Rodgers, number one.
Yep. I like Brady, number two. Are we doing top five here?
Let's do top five.
Your top five?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Rodgers and Brady are 1-2. Breeze, 3. I like Brady more than Breeze, based solely on the fact that Brady's going to throw the ball 50 fucking times a game.
Yeah.
Because they don't, I mean, that's just what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And Brady's been doing it for however many years now, and he's proven it's not going to change under Belichick. He's going to throw the ball a ton because their running backs, like you said, you like their running backs.
Yeah.
But even if they like their running backs, Brady's still the guy that they're going to lean on, even if they have a good running back. They've proved that in the past.
Yeah.
So Brady's going to be throwing the ball 40 times a game because that's just what Brady's been doing his whole career, and he's been doing it well. So Brady, number two, even though he's 52 years old, because he can still do it. Breeze, number three. Number four, number five, these are tough for me. Not 100% sure who I like, 3 and 4. There's a lot of really good quarterbacks in that. I, in terms of fantasy points,
yeah,
I look for quarterbacks without a running game from time to time. And I just don't know. I'm trying to think of guys who I would like that would be. I like Stafford a lot this year, too.
I'm going to say Goff, number four.
Yeah, I do. Actually, that's a good one. I like Goff.
I think it's going to be actually very surprising. Okay, so here's the tough thing.
And then I like Roethlisberger, too.
I like Roethlisberger, too. But I think Kirk Cousins could have a really breakout year.
He could. He could for sure, but he's got Dalvin back there, too. And we don't really know. Like, Cousins is kind of an unknown.
Hold on, Drew. So, yeah, obviously Kirk Cousins has a lot of things to work with here. Dalvin Cook, obviously, being in the backfield. We have Adam Thielen. We have receivers being picked up. Obviously, guys like Stephon Diggs is going to be
in contract year too.
Exactly, he's going to be huge. Yeah.
He's going to be playing for a deal if he doesn't get one before the season.
Kyle Rudolph, and then not to mention the fact that I think that we picked up a few players here and there. I understand Kirk Cousins being a number five, but Deshaun Watson I think has a lot of.
I like Watson a lot too.
The only problem I have with Watson is he going to be an RG3 remake?
No, he's not. Yeah, I just watched him last year. I think we all did.
We watched RG3 do the exact same thing to the point where he wasn't going to be. We thought he was going to have a stellar year the second year. All of us, I think we all did.
Well, he never proved to be good to start. Watson played, five, six games? And he was fucking incredible for those 5-6 games.
I think RG3 had like a stellar first year.
He did
a lot better for Washington. He actually got into the playoffs as a rookie.
Watson, though, it's different. Watson is a better, much better, and he is a really good. I like that one too. There's a lot. I mean, like I said, it's the top five quarterbacks, but you're gonna have to take picks. Your other quarterbacks. You're gonna have to find somebody. You're not gonna get the guy you want. You know, these are other guys that you want to take. Carson Wentz is a top five.
Yeah.
Okay. I really like him. He's a guy that doesn't have a ton of running back help.
I think Derek Carr is gonna be huge in Oakland this year. I think with Jordy Nelson being on the team this year too, I think it's really gonna help with the possession game.
I'm not a Jordy Nelson believer. He's done, I think. And the Crabtree for Nelson trade, like that trade off, not good. I think the Raiders take a dip. I think they finish with no more than 6 wins this year. And I think I really do. They have no running game. Their defense is still bad.
What do you think about the Rams with Jared Goff and obviously adding the new addition of Brandon Cooks?
Yeah, that, and they're going to be a good offense too. Gurley's going to have a lot to do with that. Goff is like a top 10 in my opinion. But he's going to have a good year. I mean, he's another guy that in his second year, he proved to be a really good rookie quarterback, which doesn't happen very often. He had a good rookie year, just like Watson did. Mm-hmm. And they look like they kind of get it. Like, Garoppolo's another guy. He's a guy that's going to throw the ball a ton.
Is that Fran?
Yep, he's another guy. He's going to throw the ball a ton. He might be if you're not going to get your number one quarterback, and Garoppolo, he might be some guy's number one quarterback, you know, because he's going to throw the ball a lot. But yeah, I like him. I like Wentz, Watson, Breeze, Brady, Rodgers. Those high volume passers.
Sure.
Running quarterbacks. Cam Newton's another guy. I mean,
do you think any rookie quarterbacks are actually going to come out and perform?
I think a lot of the ones that got drafted are ones that are going to be waiting. They're going to be.
I think every quarterback is going to be waiting. I didn't think that this year's draft class was actually the greatest by any means.
These are all.
I think if anybody has a chance to even play, you're going to be looking at two people.
Who's that?
My opinion is it'd be Baker Mayfield.
I don't think this year he's playing.
He's going against Tyrod Taylor. It's not like playing against.
Tyrod Taylor's not terrible.
No, he's not terrible. I'm not saying that he is. But I think that when you ditch Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo to have like Emmanuel or EJ Emmanuel play for a while, and then next thing you know, you brought him back in,
bad rap. I think Tyrod's better than people give him credit for.
But Mayfield's
not ready at all.
No, I'm not saying Mayfield's going to be game ready. But at the same time, I think that's when Cleveland is going to be stupid enough to be like, hey, we need to play him now. Otherwise,
this all on Cleveland's stupidity.
Stupidity.
Okay, well, that's if they're still like
100%.
No, I think he's. They've said it before that he is. Mayfield is going to is not going to play this year. So Mayfield's out of the. Mayfield's out of the situation there. But the only guy that I can see that got drafted in the first round that I like to play it this year is Sam Darnold for the Jets.
Jesus Christ!
Because
Drew.
But even though I mean they got Teddy there now and they got I think they re-signed McCown. They had a couple guys that I think that are gonna hold it down until he's another guy that I don't think will play. But he's the closest I think.
I don't even think Sam Darnold's like NFL ready.
No, not yet. And that's why they're probably going to wait. But he's the guy that's closest because of the people in front of him. A lot of these guys have guys in front of him that are proven starters. Honestly, here's the thing.
So, you already said Teddy's there with him. I hope to God that Teddy just comes out, guns a-blazing, and just has, like, the best year for any quarterback in recent years, like, to come back from an injury. Like, I hope he just throws for 3,000, maybe 4,000 yards passing and just like
it'd be cool because it'd be a redemption story, but he's not gonna do like it.
19-20 touchdowns.
That injury's not.
He was sick, but here's the thing. He's
in trouble. I honestly don't think his career's gonna go that much further than 2 or 3 more years.
God no, but I think he could easily excel like in a different position too. Because I'm talking about like in different position as far as like coaching.
I thought you meant like math teacher.
And so your reply was not with that knee is like a match. No, I think he could excel as like a coach. And goddamn, like he would be a great quarterback coach.
Yeah.
The guy built a life on like everybody thought of him being a scrambling quarterback. He actually was a pocket passer the whole time.
He's a smart guy. He's definitely a smart guy. He doesn't have a lot of arm talent, but yeah, no.
No, he's never had really arm talent. He's never had like downfield power to like toss that ball 70 some yards, but. Right. He's been smart with his plays.
He's smart. He's good at maneuvering in the pocket a little bit, and he can scramble when he needs to. But
so, Drew, we covered our little bit of fantasy football talk. Obviously, we talked about offense because that's the main thing you need to do in fantasy football. Yeah. Kickers. we don't give a shit about kickers.
Next.
If you guys want to take anybody, go ahead. I don't care if it's Frank Viola, if he's listed as a kicker on there, it doesn't matter. Kickers are whoever you want to choose. But that's me and Drew's opinion on who you guys want to pick up as sleepers. We watch these guys pretty religiously, I think, on Saturdays.
Yeah, we watch college all quite a bit, so at least we've seen all these guys play in college.
We've seen these guys play. We've seen the so-called studs play, and we've seen them fail too as well, so
just two guys' opinions on fantasy football.
That's all it
Take
is.
Take it for what it's worth.
Drew, any last words, comments?
No, man. It's another one in the books. Let's get to football season here soon.
God, dude. We're only a few weeks out.
Some live Vikings games on this thing, and that will really scare people away.
I think we should do a live Viking game, and I think that we should actually do like a live like college football game from each one of our teams.
That'd be neat.
When Sonny's Ohio State and Sonny doesn't say a word,
podcast with silence
the whole time Sonny's been here, guys, by the way.
Yeah.
But I think it'd just be absolutely hilarious. I think it'd be great.
Yeah, people, it's, by the way, the morning after our games, if we do a podcast, you'll definitely tell. You'll be able to tell how our games went by how our podcast goes. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, for sure. If we follow a live one. By the way, it won't be 5 hours long like the game is, but
no.
it'll be a short stint. Such if we're happy. But guys, we thank you for tuning in to another podcast of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk Experience. It is me, Bobby Perez, and my co-host, Andrew Scott Merrick. And we are going to get through here, and we hope you guys have a great weekend. And Drew?
I got nothing. Let's
attaboy.
Move on.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.